For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. I am joined, as usual, by Sarge, and we are here to break down another NBA slate from every angle. We got 13 games today, a massive, massive slate. Sarge just landed a job just, what, yesterday, 2 days ago. So probably last week and a half of Sarge and I consistently running duos, which is sad, but stoked for him. Hopefully we could still get a couple days when he doesn't work, but we are going to make the most of this week and a half that we have left. Short slate yesterday, I couldn't run it either way. I wanted to, but couldn't. But again, only two games, had Warriors minus 15. Was just talking to Sarge. For those of you that had it, was a little bit stressful. I wasn't able to even watch, so I just looked at the final score and we cashed. But I would say it was probably still the right side. You know, you can never really control what the bench mob does at the end of the game, but just enough to get there to cover minus 15. Funny enough, I might like another big spread again today, but those are never really fun. Brings the record to 98 and 86, I believe. So we're feeling good. We're locked in, looking to keep it rolling today. We'll hit you with the props. We'll hit you with the spreads. But again, on a 13-game slate, it's important not to overextend yourself. Make sure you're playing what you love and not just forcing it because it's a 13-game slate. Haven't locked anything in yet, but a couple ways that I'm leaning and hopefully talking through this with Sarge helps us out. Sarge, how you doing today, bro?
Good. I don't like how the NBA scheduled the games this week. Super –
yeah,
odd way to schedule a game. We had, you know, on Monday there was, I don't know, 12 games. Yesterday there was two. Today there's 13. Tomorrow there's three. Yeah. Friday there's another 10. And then on Saturday there's three. It's like, and then Sunday there's another 13. It's odd that they didn't spread them out this week and we didn't get like some 8-7 game slates back to back.
I'd rather just get 70 games every day, you know.
Me too. That'd be the best way to schedule, but I feel like,
yeah, you know, I get it. I'm okay. They wanted to stack it up. And then from there, you can't give a ton of teams back-to-back. So I get it. And we are luckily on one of those good days where we have plenty of stuff to choose from. So let's do it. Let's get into the first game of the day. For me, on my book, I got the Nets and the Wizards of the first game of the day. Nets coming in as one-point dogs in D.C. today. I don't know about you, bro. I like the Nets today. You saw last game, I watched a lot of that game, even though I had no money involved, no fantasy players, and the Nets could have won that game, right? Like, that game went down to the absolute wire. The Cavs hit the shots. The Nets didn't at the end, and you credit the Cavs. Like, that wasn't just a random thing. The Cavs were playing great defense, and Darius Garland closed it down towards the stretch. But, I mean, if you replay that from that moment on, the Nets definitely win a couple of those. So I think that minus three spread was right on line. Even though I think the Cavs ended up winning by like six or something, but you know, Nets got shut out the last final minute of the game. And that's really what it came down to. You go now back into DC, you're getting them 2 points less than they were in Cleveland. I think the Cavs are much, much more than 2 points better than the Wizards. When I say much, I don't mean like eight, but like, I think the Cavs are at least 4 or 5 points better than the Wizards on a neutral court. So just by that alone, I think there's some value here today. And you look around, one thing I think I love about Steve Nash, and at least in a betting standpoint, is, you know, Kyrie Irving and James Harden are going to be out there for 38 to 40 minutes, you know, if it's a game that is still in the balance. And that just gives me a lot of comfort that we know, you know, the two best players on the floor are going to be out there. You know, one of them will always be out there. And both of those guys will be out there for 85, you know, 80% of the game. So, and then you look around, I know there's some sketchiness around him. Kessler Edwards is going to play a lot of minutes. So I forget where we were. Sorry, it froze a little bit, guys, but we're back. All I'm here to say is you got the two best players playing the majority of the minutes. Yes, there's going to be Kessler Edwards minutes. Yes, there's going to be De'Ron Sharp minutes. But I love Patty Mills. He's another sniper that opens the floor for these guys. You have LaMarcus Aldridge back, who, you know, is not in the best of rhythm right now, but it's helpful to have him back. And then you have guys like Bembry who mix in there, know their roles. It really just gives free license for James Harden and Kyrie Irving to, you know, they're involved in every action offensively, and it comes down to can they get the right amount of stops. The Wizards, they get, you know, they show up at times, right? Like last game, they show up, beat the 76ers at home pretty handedly. Cool, maybe they ride that wave and get this win today, but I do think the majority of the time the Nets off of a loss here are a, you know, in my eyes, 3-ish, 4-ish point better team today. I know we're still trying to figure out Kyrie. I just think this Nets team is better. And if they play like they did in Cleveland, I do think they pull out a win today. So I'll take them +1 today, +1.5. How do you feel about this first one of the day?
Yeah, I like Brooklyn definitely if I had to lean aside. I don't know if I would make it an actual play yet for me. It's the Brooklyn team for me is really tough to try to figure out. And especially from a betting standpoint, like if you look at like some of their past games, I know some of these games they had KD, but they wax the Bulls. Then they lose to the Nets by 20. They beat the Pels by 15. They lose to the Cavs by 7. You know, they beat the Spurs barely. They lose to the Bucks. They're very up and down. Whenever I watch them or like I go look at a box score and see what happened during their games, I just feel like I can't get a good read where I'm like, okay, I know Brooklyn's going to show up in this game. I know they're going to do this in this game. It's just a brutal team to try to cap. But that being said, I think they win this game the majority of the time. I don't know what that would be. I would say it's anywhere between like 55 to 60% of the time, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
I just don't feel confident enough to lock it in just yet for me.
Yeah.
I definitely like 1 a lot better than I like 1.5 because I think this game is going to be really close and come down to a final shot.
Well, it's +1. It's +1.
Or +1, excuse me. That's what I meant. Wait, no, I'm getting -1. I'm getting Brooklyn -1.
I got Brooklyn +1.
Wow, that's insane. Why are we even so – I feel like this happened yesterday too. I'm literally seeing Brooklyn -1 on DraftKings Sportsbook right here.
Yeah, that's interesting. The consensus though right now is Nets +1. I'm on the Action Network app, and it just gives you like the line that is most common among all sports books, and it's Brooklyn +1.
Well, then that changes everything for me. Really does. I mean, if you get Brooklyn +1 – then I love that. I think Brooklyn, like I said, wins this game the majority of the time. And if you're getting them plus a point, I just think it's the line's off of it. I think Brooklyn, this should be a pick 'em or Brooklyn should be favored half a point.
Yeah, I'm looking at a lot of like quote experts on Action, like the Wizards today. I don't know that it makes me like the Nets more if I'm missing something or if there's some sort of rest advantage thing that we're missing.
I'm pulling up Bovada real quick to see what the line is there as well. I'm
sure it's you know, Nets +1.
Yeah, I would assume so too. It is Nets +1. Dude, DraftKings, I'm gonna not look at DraftKings sportsbook lines for today because yesterday they were a bit wacky as well off of yours. So I'm gonna go off Bovada today.
Yeah, for me right now, I'm reading an article on Action Network where someone's betting Wizards -1. And their main reason is over the past 2 weeks, the Nets are 25th in defensive rating. They're also one of the worst rebounding teams in the league.
Okay, I don't care about rebounding.
But it's like, yeah, am I really going to bet this because of a rebounding rate? Like the defensive rating is concerning for sure, but you know, this Wizards team isn't an amazing offense. And the other reason is, oh, they're healthy for the first time and have Rui and Thomas Bryant back. And it's like, okay, first off, I'm watching Rui right now. Rui is not Rui. He's definitely still working his way back. And Thomas Bryant borderline plays 15 minutes right now. So it's like, you know, I thought I was maybe missing something. I don't think we really are. I like the Nets +1 here today, for sure.
Yep, I'm on the same boat.
And even if we can get, you know, maybe get 1.5, I think that's definitely worth a look. I'm not going to lock it in live on air, but it's definitely something I'll be considering throughout the day. One of those things where, you know, you could see I'm posting at 12:30, you know, Nets plus one. But for now, again, 13 games. I want to process it all and then figure it out. All right, next game, we have the Sixers and the Magic. I personally don't have a ton of interest in this game. Again, don't really enjoy big spreads. It's not fun for me. Not that this is about having fun. Right? It's about making money. But we do have two games now of which these two teams have played. Philly went into Orlando early in November, and it was a close game for most of it, and then just closed it out in the fourth, outscored them by 10, won by 10. And then they played in Philly very, very late November, and Sixers won by 5 in a really close game. I know the Magic are struggling. Philly's off of a loss, so they should be locked in here today, but a 12-point spread is very, very big, and you could see this Philly team up 20. This Magic team is a team that has fun, young, like garbage time players. So if it's garbage time, you're going to see Suggs. You're going to see RJ Hampton, you know, like guys who can actually score and play. And you can see them cut that to under 12 just in garbage time. I do like Embiid over 28.5 points today. I know that might seem like, you know, maybe a square play. It's like, okay, Joel Embiid, but he's absolutely dominating right now. Even in their game, last game where they lost by 19, he still put up 32. He scored 32, 32, 25, 31, 31, 31, 31, 31, 34, 36 in his last 11 games. So that's gone over in 10 out of the last 11. You're getting it at 28.5 at home in a spot where they just lost. And look, no one can guard you well, but, you know, the Magic aren't really the best equipped to guard him. You know, they're in the bottom half of teams equipped to guard Joel Embiid. So I like that prop again, not locking it in. Do you have anything on the spread?
I would lean Philly here if I had to play it, just because, yeah, I think them coming off a loss back at home. I just think the more likely scenario is Philly covers here, but I'm with you. I don't think you play this game. I think you're just forcing something on a 12 game, 13 game slate, with betting this one. And yeah, I just think you stay away. 12 points, that line seems pretty spot on to me. But if there is a case where I had to bet this game, I would go with Philly. But I'm not forcing anything in this one right now. I just think the line's on, and you got a really good team and a really bad team with a 12-point spread. I think it's fair.
Yep, I'm with you. Next game, Hornets and Celtics. Very interesting game because this opened up at 4.5. Not on my book, but in the world, 4.5. I woke up, took a pee at like 6. It was 3.5. It's now down to 2.5. I thought there was some value here on the Hornets, definitely at 4.5, but I never got that. I considered 3.5, but I wasn't going to lock it in half asleep at 6 a.m. Now at 2.5, it's definitely gone. I might even lean Celtics. I think you can make the argument as a pick 'em. Hornets are a good basketball team. Celtics are a good basketball team when they play well, and they have been lately. I don't know. This one's tough though. This is two really inconsistent teams playing each other. I think this is one of those games, Sarge, where it's like, it's very, very close with 5 minutes left. And it's like the Cavs and Nets, all right, like who makes some big shots. I honestly think if I play this, I go, the home court advantage is huge. I think these two teams are super similar. So I think maybe I go Celtics. But again, the fact that I can't even decide who I'm leaning, I'm not playing this.
I think Hornets in my eyes are the better team. Maybe that's by a half a point. Maybe it's by a full point. just from what I've watched in the past 2 weeks, their defense isn't the best in the world. And I think a lot of that has to do with Mason Plumlee, and he's not, you know, able to protect the rim as well as he should. And that's where they run into problems in games, but their offense is so good. And they're great in transition. Boston gets a lot of, like, they get very stagnant on offense. I lean Charlotte here slightly. I think there is still a little bit of value if you can get it at 3, 2.5 is a stay away for me for sure. But even at 3, like you said, Boston's at home. They're going to be – Boston needs to win some games here coming into the All-Star break, because once it comes down to it, the East 6 through about 11 is going to be very, very tight for those last play-in playoff spots. So every game is important here, even though we're still 40 games in, especially this one against Charlotte, where tiebreakers are huge, and Charlotte and Boston are going to be right there up with each other. So I think Boston competes here. I think this game ends up coming down to within 3 points. So it's a bit risky to try to, you know, find some value here. But I do think if there is a little, it still is on Charlotte at 3, 2.5, no value for me. I think that's actually a very, very sharp line at 2.5.
Yep. I'm with you. Got some props there that I like, but we'll just save those for the end. Next game, Blazers and Heat. Not super interested in this one either. Kyle Lowry still out. Tyler Hero still out. I don't know, though. Maybe we can talk ourselves into this one. But 9 here for the Heat today. I think if I did lean aside, it'd be shockingly, I know you're not going to like this, the Blazers. Watched them last two games in D.C. and in Orlando, and I know you can make the argument D.C.'s ass. They didn't have Beal. And the Magic are certainly ass right now. But I think you have a stud in Anthony Simons. I think you have a, you know, a pretty damn good player in C.J. McCollum. Covington's there. Norman Powell's still going to be out. Yusuf Nurkic, you know, is going to foul out at some point. But while he's in, he'll be effective. I don't know. I think I'd rather take the 9 extra points here with no Hero and Lowry. It, you know, Miami's not necessarily a team to overlook teams. But, you know, when you have this game, you know, you're coming off a game against a Raps that, you know, is important, playoff seeding, all that. And then you come in, get a Trailblazers team that sucks. And then you have, like, let me see who they play next. And that's sandwiched in between, you know, Atlanta, the Lakers, the Knicks, which are, again, more important, better teams. I think it's easy to overlook a game like this. And so I do like them getting 9. It's scary because, again, we know that this Blazers team at any point can suck absolutely dick. And that's the thing. You'll know pretty quick into this what version of the Blazers show up today. But it is hard to bet against a Miami team that comes in. They're one of the best teams at coming locked in. You know, they've missed so many games from Butler, Bam, Kyle, and here they are sitting third or maybe even second in the East right now. We talked about it. You know, a lot of guys deserve Coach of the Year talks, conversation. I think Spo should be in there too, because of, you know, how injury riddled they've been and how well they've handled that. All that to be said, I do think I lean the Blazers here, but I don't think I'm playing this.
Like 2 weeks ago, I remember I made the prediction that the Blazers would lose 30 games before they won 20.
Yeah.
It's looking a little scary now. The Blazers have kind of been rolling. They beat the Kings at home. They beat the Nets at home. They got mollywopped by the Nuggets, but then they beat the Trailblazers, or they beat the Wizards on the road, and they beat the Magic on the road. So, you know, a bit of a new life.
They got
Trailblazers team. Yeah,
CJ comes back. Anthony's balling.
Yeah. So at first look, I liked Miami -9 a lot more than I liked Portland +9. But with this new life and, you know, Portland, it's tough to take that small of a sample size, 5-6 games, and really say that they're turning a corner. But at this point, I would rather not bet against them. And just, especially on a 13-game slate, there's no reason to try to bet against the Blazers here today. There's better lines. I'm even seeing 10 on DraftKings, so it's even
– It was like 10, and then Hero got ruled out.
Okay, so that line probably just hasn't adjusted yet. It's 9 on Bovada.
But, yeah, it was 10 on mine, too, and then Hero news.
Yeah, well, I leaned Miami earlier just at first glance, but now that I'm looking into it a bit, it's probably a stay away for me. But, yeah, I do not believe in this Portland team still.
I know.
But I'm scared.
It's hard to believe in them. But, like, you know, I've watched actually weirdly. I think it's just because I've had someone involved or fantasy players on the other side. I've watched a good bit of their recent games, and they're not terrible, right? They're not good by any means, but they're not terrible right now. They're playing together. I like them getting the points today. Next game, this is a game that I for sure, Sarge, want to stay away from. T-Wolves, 1.5 point dogs on a back-to-back in Atlanta. You know, we both went to the Atlanta well a couple times, and then we both are off, and then they go win it. Adam on MLK Day against one of the best teams in the league in the Milwaukee Bucks, man. It's of course, exactly. That's just the betting game that we play. I'm just staying off the Hawks till they somewhat normalize. Like, they're just all over the place. And even in that Bucks game, they had plenty of stretches where they just looked really bad. Like, offensively, couldn't get good looks. Defensively, they were okay, but offensively, it's like you would think with Trae Young, it'd be easy look after easy look. It's some not really right now, and you can tell he's almost like saying, okay, I get it. Like, I don't want to dribble it too much and take these guys out of rhythm. And he's almost just overdoing it now, where it's like, okay, Kevin Huerter shouldn't be isolating on a good defender. Yeah, I love Kevin Huerter, you know, for 14 seconds of the shot clock. And it's just Clint Capella. I know Onyeka fills in well, but Clint Capella still is a much better defender overall where his mind is at. I have no read on this Hawks team and what version ever shows up. T-Wolves are good, but they're not this no doubter, like, bet with confidence team on any given day. And I think – I know the Knicks went into Atlanta and beat them pretty handedly, but I think the Knicks and the Hawks overall talent-wise and basketball team-wise are pretty similar teams right now. And the T-Wolves just won by 2 in New York. So – factor in it's a back-to-back, it makes it really tough to read a game like this. I'm going to stay off of it.
That's an insane line. Like, when I first looked at it, I was like, I'm looking at the DraftKings line when I first wake up, and I guess they're not accurate at this point. I think we can say
DraftKings, but it's 2.5 T-Wolves.
Yeah. And it's 1.5 now I see on Bovada. That's a sharp ass line in my opinion. Like,
yeah,
I just think a lot of people are immediately going to go hit Minnesota because they see 1.5. Minnesota's kind of been playing well. And then you go look on the other side, Atlanta, sure, they won the last game, but they've looked horrible. But I think this is trappy. Minnesota is probably around 2 points better.
Back to back.
I just am staying away fully from this game here.
Yeah. I mean, that game ended last night, probably 10 o'clock. They fly in. They probably didn't get into Atlanta until 2-3, you know?
And I think when you look at this, the majority of smart bettors are going to say Minnesota should win by 1.5 here. Like, they're the better team. Yeah, Atlanta's been
– it's a sharp-ass line, bro.
It's a trap. I'm not betting this.
I'm not betting this at all. There's nothing. Like, I'm not going to sit on this and maybe – like, I'm not betting this game. All right, next game, another really fun, interesting situation. We got the Cavaliers and the Bulls. Cavaliers have proved time and time again they are worth betting. They take care of business against the Nets. I know it was a really close game, but they got it done at the end. The Bulls, meanwhile, are reeling a little bit. They've lost 4 in a row, 5 out of their last 6. Again, a lot of that coincides with Zach LaVine going down. But I know, and we'll get to the props. We'll get to AO. But Lonzo's still out, right? Caruso's still out.
So Caruso is a game time decision tonight, and it says that he's leaning towards playing. So,
okay. I actually, in that case, look, I'm never going to bet against the Cavs right now unless the spot is just absolutely beautiful. But I do think there's some value here in the Bulls today, and I'll tell you why. That Celtics game to me, that kind of just to me proved where the mindset of this team is, where, and I've listened to him too, where DeMar said it's just different. Like, they're a really together group. They all genuinely love each other. The old guys and the young guys all get along. There's no tension there or anything like that. It's just a group that really vibes together. And so you're getting a team that knows they've lost 5 out of 6. They're at home. They've already lost to the Cavs this year. I think you get a really strong effort from the Bulls today. Now, despite that, the Cavs can still cover -3 with a really strong effort from the Bulls today. But I do think I lean the Bulls plus the points here, and I honestly think you could see this get to 3, 3.5. Like, you still have DeRozan. You still have Vooch. AO's playing really well. Kobe White's proved he can be a microwave scorer. Troy Brown's hitting some shots. And then if you get Caruso back, that's really, really big. I doubt he plays 30 minutes, but I wouldn't put it past Caruso. So I might be in the minority today. I know the Cavs have been by far the best team against the spread this year. If you bet them blindly every day, you'd be making racks. But they still have, you know, there's still been 13 games in which they haven't covered. And I think today's a sneaky spot. I'm not playing it yet, but it is something I'm going to consider throughout the day here with the Bulls plus three.
Yeah,
it's okay if you disagree, bro.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with the Caruso news. That's a hard player to, because I think he's huge for them. Like, but I don't know how many points I would cap it with. You know, like he's a massive player for them, and it just means you can run less Alphonso McKinney or all these other guys that they've been playing.
It's Malcolm Hill.
It's been awful. I mean, Alphonso McKinney should be playing under a rock in a different country under the water. He's been that bad. It has been horrible. Like, he has been so bad. He can't make a shot. He, like, when he gets the ball, he just, like, throws it out of bounds. It's legitimately, like, he is awful. Have you watched any of him?
Dude, he's a Warriors legend, bro. I fully know who Alphonso McKinney.
He was engaged to what's her name? He was engaged to Drake's chick now, Amari Bailey's mom. And then she dumped his ass for Drake, and now he can't play basketball anymore because of it.
No way! I did not know he was engaged to Amari Bailey. That's crazy, or his mom.
Yeah,
but I get it. Like, yeah, the Bulls are forced right now because of the state of their team to play some guys that shouldn't be playing as many minutes as they do. And it's hard to overcome when you get a team like the Cavs that are just so locked in. These are two teams that we just like to bet, you know. But I just think when you have a team like the Bulls that's so connected and plays really hard with five losses in their last six, I think you just get a really focused version. And I think this game goes down the wire. I think the thing that ultimately keeps me off of it is – the Bulls could play really well, you know, and it could be tied with 5 minutes left and still not cover. Like, 48 minutes is just such a long time. It's just the Cavs are going to have opportunities to go on runs and put it away. I think I stay away, but I do think I lean the Bulls.
Bottom line, I think, is you just don't bet against the Cavs right now. I get it, but why bet against them? They cover the spread every time. Three seems like a lot, but – you know, I think it's pretty 50-50. I think they cover the spread like close to 50% of the time. They're so damn good. And it's tough because you always revert back to, this is Cleveland, right? Like, they're not this good, but they are. They're this good. And it's,
guys, just, we're more than halfway through the damn season.
But 6 points, that's a lot, man.
That's especially what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's just so hard. It's hard, man. So tough.
It's hard. I know it's a 13-game slate, but you know, there have been yesterday. There were two games, and I like two. Like, today is really, really tough. But we'll keep it moving. Next game, another one where I like a team here today, and I don't like fading the Grizzlies. They're the second best team against the spread all year long. But guys, I like Milwaukee today for a couple reasons. One, we might be getting Drew back. Two straight losses for the Bucks. Three, the Grizzlies are going to be without Desmond Bane, without Kyle Anderson, still without Dylan Brooks. And I'm pulling it up right now. There's probably one more guy. Maybe there isn't. Kyle Anderson, Bain, Brooks, Tyus Jones, right?
Tilly too, but, you know.
So, to me, this looks like a Bucks spot. It really does. You know, Bucks are at home where they have a tendency. You saw they just blew the Warriors up by like 50 million. Again, very, very scary to bet against this Grizzlies team, especially now, you know, you're getting six, right? And John Morant's still there. Jaren Jackson's still there. We've talked about it a million times. We're big D'Anthony Melton fans. But Tyus Jones, Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bain, Kyle Anderson are big parts of this rotation. The Bucks have lost two straight, four out of their last five. They return home. You just had like a kind of like a view into – who they can be at home. They beat the Warriors by 20 plus. They were up 40 at half. Like, that version, I think, covers this six today. And I don't know really why you wouldn't get that version of the Bucks today. You know, they've lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of their 9 games in January. And I know Giannis had COVID for a little bit, and Drew's been out, but they should be back today. I think Drew's a game time decision. Yeah, he's gray. So it's probably straight up 50-50, but like, I think today is a day where they would like they could definitely use a Drew against Jaw. I know the Grizzlies will battle. They'll fight, but I think overall over 48 minutes, Bucks should win this by at least 7-8 in my eyes. But it's not fun to bet against this Grizzlies team because we've seen it. They've missed so many guys at many different points, and they just make it work. So I don't know, man.
And I think a lot of what you said is kind of factored into the line already at 6.5. If you get it at 6, it's going to sound stupid, but I think 6 is a lot. I like 6 a lot more than I like 6.5.
Oh, for sure. Mine's at 6 right now. It's bounced back and forth between 6 and 6.5 all morning.
Because you know people are eating up the Grizzlies at 6.5. Like,
yeah.
I hate betting against Memphis. Memphis and Cleveland are the two teams that I just hate betting against. They play at the same time today. Imagine if you bet against both of them and then had to watch at the same time. You would be just – you'd be so scared. Yeah. But for me, everything you said makes sense. I think it is factored into the line a little bit.
For sure.
And I'd rather stay away again on this one. I think it's a really sharp line again at 6.5. I really do. I know you think it should be higher, and there are very fair arguments for that. If you get Drew back, it definitely, you know, will go up to probably 7, 7.5 maybe. But for right now, man, I'm not betting against the Grizzlies, especially this many points. I know it's in Milwaukee and they lost 2 straight and they're probably going to win this game, but just betting against these fighting Grizz, man.
I know it's not fun. I'm going to go real quick. Milwaukee this year, it's tough because they've missed a lot of guys. Milwaukee's 8-10 against the spread after a loss. They're as a home favorite this year, they are 6-12. But again, a lot of those numbers are, you know, Giannis is missing, Chris is missing. So I don't know how much stock I put. And then, you know, the books are always going to respect the Bucks. So
the Grizzlies have lost one game in like the last month. It feels like, remember that Warriors game? I think it was, when was that? Was that Christmas Day?
Yeah. So they lost to the Warriors when I was in Belgium. And I even remember Steph and Dre talked about, like, dude, we've got to beat this team. You know, like, they sent us home in the play-in. Like, they're hot. Like, we've got to beat this team. So they were taking that game very seriously. They lost that game and then to the Mavs in, like, a third game in 4 nights, 6-9.
Oh, yeah. They got whacked. Yep.
But that was, like, clearly we knew the spot. All the, like, sharp bettors who like rest advantages and shit were all over the Mavs that game. So they were just up against it scheduling-wise. But the same – but my thing here, too, is just, like, I know they lost two, but, like, Desmond Bane is huge for this team, you know? Yeah, like,
he is.
Tyus Jones – I think the casual NBA fan's not going to put a lot of stock into Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones has been really good for them. Kyle Anderson, really, like, he's not had as good of a year as he did last year, but still definitely helpful. And then I know they've been playing without Dylan Brooks for a while and had no issues. But I just do think that you're going to see – obviously that starting lineup's still cool. Morant, Melton, Zaire, Jaren, Steven Adams. But then it's, you know – off the bench, it's a little bit worse. Xavier Tillman, Conchar is going to play a lot of minutes, who actually has been really good. That's a sneaky guy who's been really good, is John Conchar. I don't know. I think you make a good point, though, that, you know, 6 is not this small number, and that those guys being out definitely are factored into this line. This isn't 4.5, you know, or even 5. Like, 6, 6.5 is – you've got to beat a team – pretty handedly or get super hot towards the end at the best time. And you're betting against what has been the best team in the league.
Grizzlies have the best record on the slate today. They're technically the best team.
Yeah. I mean, against the spread, 30-16 this year, they're actually third. Guess who's the second best team against the spread?
Warriors.
No, Warriors are fifth.
So Cleveland's one, right?
Cleveland's one.
Memphis is 3.
Yeah, might as well guess 2 and 4.
I would say it's not Utah.
It's not Utah.
Is it a good team?
One of them's good, one of them's bad.
Washington?
Nope.
I'm trying to guess a random ass team. Minnesota?
Nope. Think of a bad team. Guess. The bad team second. I'm on them all the time.
Sacramento?
No. Sacramento.
Detroit?
No. You're going to be like, oh, when I tell you. When you see it, you're going to be like, oh. I'm on them probably more than any other team, bro.
Are they on the slate today?
Yes.
The Clippers?
No.
Oh, Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Oklahoma City 28 okay. and 14 against the spread this year. They've been an absolute cash cow.
And we love them today.
And we do love them today. We'll get to that in a sec. But Hornets are fourth.
Okay, that makes actually a ton of sense.
I haven't been on the Hornets as much as I should.
I've been on them actually a good amount. That's been one of the teams where I keep saying that I want to play them, but I never lock it.
And then
I always lean it. It's like the same thing today. I'm saying it again.
Yeah. And I was like that I got so lucky on MLK Day because I leaned the Hornets so hard and I was like, I'm going to be disciplined. And then right before lock, it was like LaMelo available to play. I was like, oh, fuck yeah. I go grab the Hornets +3. LaMelo doesn't play a single minute.
Yeah.
And then they still covered. So I got so lucky there because I wasn't going to play that. Anyways, we still got six, seven games left. This is another game that I'm staying away from. Raptors and Mavs here today. Raptors +3. I was on them last game against the Miami Heat at 4.5. Super tough loss. I wouldn't even call it necessarily a bad beat. It just didn't go my way. They lost by 5. Very easily could have covered, but they didn't. It's just how it goes at the end of the game. And that line was razor fucking sharp. And just bet on a game where it was essentially gambling and came on the wrong side of it. But today here, they are +3 on the road at Dallas. It means that they're a pick'em. And I think that's just about right. I think these are two really good basketball teams. Dallas is playing good basketball right now. They're basically healthy. Toronto's playing good basketball right now. They're basically healthy besides Gary Trent Jr. And I watched that Miami game. You know, Miami had Bam and Jimmy and Tyler. They had everyone besides Kyle Lowry. They were playing good basketball. It was just a good basketball game on both sides. And so I feel like I have a good read on the Raps and Mavs. And I think I don't really think you could separate them. I think you can make some arguments that Mavs are a point better. I think you can make some arguments that Raps are a point better. And so I'd make it a pick 'em. It's -3. I don't really have a ton to say, but do you have a side you lean?
I would put this game at Mavs -3.5, and I'm seeing it at 3.5 on Bovada. I'm seeing it at 3.5 on DraftKings. You're seeing that at 3. So either way, I think this is a great razor sharp line and that we don't play. Toronto has been one of my favorite teams to watch lately. I obviously got Pascal Siakam in Dynasty, but just in general, like they're fast paced. They play defense. They get the rebound and they go because Pascal Siakam, when he grabs boards, he just pushes. They're just a really fun team to watch. Same with Dallas. So the spread's only 208.5, which I was a bit surprised to see. I was going to ask you about why it was so low.
2.5.
208.5 is the spread.
It's just the Raptors, bro. And the Mavs D has picked up lately.
Wow, it's 207 on Bovada.
You go to the Mavs games, 104-102 against Oklahoma City, 108-92 against Orlando, 112-85 against Memphis, 85-108 against New York. Really, the last four games have gone under that number. I think their defense has just been picking up. And then Toronto plays at a pretty damn slow pace and has a good defense. So,
Four games
for Toronto have all gone under that number as well. You know me, like over-unders just aren't really my thing unless something really pops out. So I can't really speak on it with much confidence. But, you know.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. Okay there? The coffee came back up. At least it didn't come out. But, I can't be talking about over-unders, bro. My body knows it's not my
pick. I was just curious. It wasn't a play for me or anything. I was just wondering why it was so low. But, yeah, that makes sense. I think the line is razor sharp. I would set it at Mavs -3.5. It's -3.5 in a lot of spots, 3 and some. So, yeah. Pretty much a stay away from me.
Razor sharp line. We've seen a lot of these motherfuckers today. All right. OKC and San Antonio today. We just talked about it. OKC, second best team against the spread. I think they've covered like their last 7 or so. Headed into San Antonio. And funny enough, I think we were using the Spurs as a context a couple days ago when they were playing the Cavs. And I think I said something like, you know, I'd give the Spurs two and a half points over this Thunder team. And granted, I think Jakob Poeltl was even playing, honestly, in that Cavs game. But regardless, I think it's about the same. And even if you wanted to push that up to three, you're still getting six. I have seven minus 105. I would buy the half point, get it to 7.5 minus 115. I only bet $50 a bet. So it's not like, you know, 105 to 115 is that big of a deal for me. Okay, if you're betting $1,000, okay, it becomes a bigger deal. But for me, it's three extra dollars. I'd rather buy that point. We talked about it. I like the Thunder here today. I don't think there's that big of a difference between these two. Thunder have been good at home, on the road. And I think the books are slightly catching up to them a little bit because I think, you know, very easily, maybe, you know, 2 weeks ago, you could have seen this line at eight or 8.5 or so, you know. And so I think there's a little bit more respect being given them. But you go down the line, they are experts at losing close games. They lose by 2 to the Mavs. They lose by 5 to the Cavs. They lose by 4 to the Wizards. They lose by 4 to the Nuggets. Get blown out by Denver. Lose by 8 to Minnesota on the road. Lose by 9 to the Mavs at home. Covered both those 8 and 9 point losses. And again, you just see it. They can be down 20. They just keep plugging away. There's no let up in this team. They play hard to the final whistle. All of them play hard. You have the shot creator and shot maker in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Everyone kind of plays off of him. Lou's been shooting it. Lou's like second behind Steph in terms of games in a row made with a three. I think he's hit like 60-something games in a row where he's made at least one three. Giddy's there, Wiggins. Baisley's actually picking it up. They rotate in their big men depth with Muscala, Jeremiah Robinson, Earl and Favors. It's just a solid team that's not going to win a ton of games, but they don't lose. They don't get blown out all that often. Now, that being said, it's been a while since they've gotten blown out, so that does make me a little nervous. Spurs off of a loss. But I'm definitely taking a good, long, hard look at the Thunder plus 7.5 today.
I love Thunder plus 7.5. By far my favorite line. I don't think it's really close.
I think that's where I'm at.
Which is it's a scary thought to have when you're looking at lines and something really, really stands out to you. It makes you think you might be missing something, but I would set the line at 6.5. I think you're getting a full point of value here on Oklahoma City, a full damn point. I would hit this at 7. I'd hit it at 7.5. I think it should be at 6.5. Oklahoma City is just better than they're getting credit for in this one. I know it's in San Antonio, but not really a far distance for Oklahoma City to travel. It's pretty close to home. I just think they're going to be locked into this one. And like you said, they love losing their games by 3 to 6 points. That's what they're really good at.
Even
good teams that they can compete with and end up losing by 7-8 points. And then you have a San Antonio team that I don't think is like miles ahead of this Oklahoma City team. Sure, I think they're a bit better and they play well at home and they're coming off a loss. But I'm taking Oklahoma City in this one. It's just too many points for me not to hit it, honestly. Yeah. And I think they cover this spread like close to 60% of the time, honestly.
Yeah. On a night where – you know, we're going through these shits and it's razor sharp lines across the board. I think this is the one that stands out to me the most today too, where again, and we was just like dogs, right? Like these two teams are playing to win. You're getting 7.5 extra points of cushion here today. And I think me and you would both say, like, if we fell asleep at 4 o'clock, woke up at 10, pulled up our box scores, and saw that Oklahoma City won this game, neither of us would be shocked.
I was just about to say that. I said it last time, Oklahoma City as well, and I think they ended up winning that game. Let me check. All these games happen, and sometimes, like, I think a game happened last night, but it was two games ago.
I think we talked about that with Brooklyn, and they did win that game.
Yeah, and I talked about it even with the Mavs.
Yeah.
Even with the Mavs, dude, like I said, if they won this game, don't be surprised. They ended up losing by 2, but they fight, and they're in it at the very end. And you can't say they're in it to win it, because I think they're in it to lose it at the end sometimes. But this is another game where it's probably going to be plus 240, 250 on the money line. Let me look at it. It's at 230 right now.
I'm getting 243.
Yeah, if you can get, I think that's 243 is pretty nice. I wouldn't be surprised if they won this game at all. So take the points for sure, plus 7.5. I love that line, by far the favorite, my favorite line. But if you want to throw in some funky money line parlays and get some Oklahoma City money line, just winning this game, I like it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Another game that that I actually am leaning pretty hard. These are probably my two hardest leans. I like the Jazz minus 13 here today, and
I thought you were gonna take. I thought 100% you were taking Houston. I was like,
no fucking way, bro. And a couple reasons why. I'll get to the right to the core of it. We've talked about it, right? When you have a bad team and they get an outlier good performance, I like going against them the next game. I'm not gonna blindly do that. And then you have that. Then you have the Jazz off of a loss.
Embarrassed. This is not a loss. This is not a loss. Really, I'm telling you. This is an embarrassing loss that everyone talked about. And Gobert is going to be pissed. People were shitting on Gobert. Like, oh, here's Gobert again. He can't play at closing games in small lineups. Like, Utah is coming out in this game. I that's why when I thought you were going to say Rockets, I was going to come back at you. I think
I'm on the Jazz, bro.
This is a smash spot for Jazz.
We talked about it yesterday. Yesterday was a smack city spot for the Warriors. Off a loss, 4 out of the last 5. Come in, just prove it. Today's a prove it spot, I think. And you're getting the worst defense right now, playing what to this point has been the best offense in the NBA, and just in terms of net rating, not net rating, offensive rating. I know Donovan's out, but like, in a game like this, Jordan Clarkson steps in. I'm not saying he is the player Donovan Mitchell is, but I don't really think you lose a beat. And you go last game, you look, first off, we talked about it, embarrassing loss. They were up like 8 or 9 with 10 minutes left to go in that game. But you go look at the box score and it stands out, right? Donovan Mitchell, 0 of 8 from 3. Bogdan Bogdanovic, 0 of 4 from 3, 1 of 9 from the field. Jordan Clarkson, 2 of 13 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3. You're not getting that again. You're just not getting that again.
And those guys are very high variance. Like they'll, like Jordan Clarkson especially, he'll go out and go 12 for 14 from the field. And then he'll have a game where he goes 0 for 14. You know what I mean? Like that's what happens with some of these Jazz guys. It's how they play. But this game, I want to bet on the 12 for 16 from Jordan Clarkson today, or him having a go. Even if he has an off game, there's guys behind him. We should look at the Jordan Clarkson prop. We can get that. But I also like Joe Ingles' points, rebounds, and assists. I think that's very sneaky today. We'll have to see where it's at or if it's there.
We'll get there.
But I do like Utah today, and I think they come in. Let's look at the Jazz here in the past 6 games, right? So let's start with that Raptors game on January 7th. They lost to the Raptors in Toronto. Then they go and they lose to the Pacers.
And real quick, that Toronto game. They had nobody. I was on the Raptors that game.
They had no, yeah. And they didn't have Gobert for some of these games too, but you still look at these are winnable games without Gobert either way. Yeah. They lose to the Pacers in Indiana. They lose to the Pistons in Detroit. They get walloped by the Cavs at home.
At home.
Then they beat the Nuggets on the road, and then they get embarrassed by the Lakers on the road. They're going to come out here today. This is a great spot. It's a great spot to hit the Jazz.
I love that you're with me on this. I know 13 scary, but it's a smack it up spot. Yesterday, I wanted to just – I didn't have the balls, but I wanted to go Warriors first quarter, Warriors first half, Warriors full game. And that would have been a 3-0 sweep them up. I think you – I don't know that I'm going to have the balls to do it, but I think today you're going to see a similar thing. Jazz first quarter, Jazz first half, Jazz full game, sweep them up. And we've talked about this before too. We love it with Quinn Snyder. The guys – the Jazz could be up 20 – with 5 minutes left, Rudy Gobert is still in the game. Jordan Clarkson's still in the game. Mike Conley's still in the game. He doesn't make that, all right, scrubs come in substitution till 2 minutes left when that shit is fully decided.
And sometimes even sometimes he'll go to like 50 seconds and then he'll take a foul or call a timeout. Yeah. And I think he does it for a multitude of reasons. I think he lets his players get their stats. That's one of the reasons.
Yep.
Especially with Donovan Mitchell, but even with these guys, he lets them get their, because he knows it's important for some of these guys with at the end of the year, you get a bonus or this or that. So he lets these guys play and he's known for it. Like watch this game. If they're up 20 points, maybe if it's like 40, sure. But like if it's 20 or 30, he'll let these guys run.
Yeah, they're in.
He'll let Gobert go till the minute and 15 mark.
And I love that as a better.
Which is huge for this kind of spread. Exactly. Yep.
And I've had plenty of games too where I have a dog against Utah in the past, and I'm hoping for that backdoor opportunity. I'm just waiting. And Quinn is letting these guys go till 1 minute left in this game. So
and another thing with Utah's rotations, real quick. Sorry to interrupt you, but
you're good.
Like when Steve Kerr runs Steph, he'll play him till like almost the end of the first quarter, right? And then Steph doesn't come back in until 5 minutes or 4 minutes left in the rest of the half, right?
So when they're blowing him out, he doesn't come back at all.
He doesn't come back in, right?
Yeah.
We don't get that from Snyder. What he does is he runs Gobert 6 minutes, then Gobert comes out, he comes back in, runs 3 minutes to end the first, and then he plays the next 3 minutes of the next quarter.
I think it's smarter.
Exactly. So you get more of less of an overlap of bad players. And it's a lot – you're more confident in your bet and not having these guys come out at the end of games and getting – you know, when it's 13 and a half or whatever the line may be, you lose a tough one because of it.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. I liked it a lot going in, and I think I like it that much more. I'm probably locking this in when we get off. I just don't see too many scenarios today. And like, we haven't even talked about the Rockets, right? This has been all Jazz-based, and I think you guys are following all that. You look at the Rockets in the month of January. They've lost by 9 plus 4, 14 at home against Denver, 20 on the road against Philly. They beat Washington, immediately backed that up with a 24-point loss at home against Dallas, then a 18-point loss against Minnesota at home, another 20-point loss at home against Philly. Then you get the outlier game, beat San Antonio by 4, back that up with a 12-point loss in Sacramento, and then they go beat Sac today. I know they've had some time off. They get 2 days off. Cool. It's just a young team. And another thing with young teams is they fold a lot easier. You know, they get down 20 at half. I don't think you see this Rockets team rally. Let's fucking go. Like it's, I don't know, man.
They don't beat good teams. That's another thing with the Rockets. They do not beat good teams. They have not beaten a good team. I'm trying to look back. They have not beat – they beat the Nets on December 8th. That was their last good win. Outside of that
– that was when they were rolling.
Yeah, the games they've won – that's when they won like the 8th straight or whatever.
Yeah.
They beat the Pistons. Okay, great. They beat the – let's see. Who else have they beat? They beat the
Wizards.
Spurs, great. Spurs, Kings. They beat the Kings, great. They're not beating good teams. They're getting waxed by good teams because their defense is so bad. So – this isn't a spot where you want to hit the Rockets. This isn't a good spot for the Rockets in the slightest. They get waxed by good teams. If they do win, it's against a middling Spurs team or a Detroit team. They're not beating good teams. So I just think everything on both sides is pointing to Utah.
I am exactly with you. Again, I know it's sketch, but you got – yesterday I looked at the first half of the Warriors and it was -9, and I was just like, fuck, that's just too high. First quarter was -5. It's kind of the same shit here today, guys.
4.5 and 8.5.
4.5 and 8.5. I like it. I don't know that I have the balls to get the trio, just line them all up. But I really do think majority of the time the Jazz are coming right out of the gates hot. They're up 10 at the end of the first, 15-16 at half. And then hopefully that just carries into the second half. I know it's not comfortable, but I just think this is as prime of a Smack City spot. And I don't think the Donovan injury really hurts them too much in a game like this.
I like all the honestly, I like all three. I like first quarter -4.5. I love even more first half -8.5. I don't think in 24 minutes the Jazz, like, I just don't see how the Rockets stay close. And I love -13.5, obviously, too.
Yeah. All right. Three more games, then we'll get to props. Loaded slate today. We got the Kings today, -7 at home against the Pistons. I saw this open up last night before. Again, I check Action Network. It has a consensus line. I'm usually checking that, like, you know, 10 o'clock. My book didn't have a lineup, but it opened up at 5.5. I liked that. Now it's up to 7. I'm off of it. Again, you're going to be without Halabudi today. He's a big part of what this team does today. And the Pistons, you know, they suck, but they play hard, and they have games where they compete, and they've now blown out in 2 straight games. I wouldn't be surprised if you told me, hey, oh, the Pistons hung in this one. Trade rumors swirling on the Kings side. I'm just staying away from this one. 2 pretty poopy teams. One's a little bit more poopier than the other. No interest in this.
I like the Pistons in this one slightly. I think 7.5 is a lot, honestly. I know they're not good, and I know they played yesterday against the Warriors and got pretty crushed. And they played, I think, a couple of days ago against the Suns and got destroyed as well. So I think they'll be a little fired up and ready to go in this one. I know it's a lot of games in a couple of days, but I think they're going to be ready to play in this one still. And you got a lot of young guys that don't have the wear and tear. No one's going to be resting in this one. So I do think they come to compete today. And I don't know, the Pistons have been a team too that always seems at the end of games to just like close in on the spread. Have you noticed that? Like even yesterday against the Warriors, you're like, oh, this is locked up.
Remember when I had them minus like 10.5 against the Clippers and they were down like 20 the whole game? And then
yeah, that's what I'm saying. And they came and they slowly covered it and covered. Yeah. I think it was like 12.5 and they lost by 12 or something wild like that.
No, within a half point for sure.
So they always do this, but they also look so bad at times too. And the Kings are a team where they can actually look pretty decent at times, but without Halliburton, I mean, last game looked not great.
They lost to the Rockets. No Halliburton, and then it just kind of went out the window.
Yeah, it's TD playing a lot of minutes, but the much better players are on the Kings side for sure. But I think Detroit fights in this one. I slightly lean Detroit. I don't think it's a full lock it in play. I think it's too sketchy, but we'll see. I think you're going to get no Killian Hayes, and I hate to say this, but I do like that for Detroit. I like Corey Joseph out there, especially on defense for me. And then I just like what he can do next to Cade Cunningham a little bit more. He's going to make open shots a lot more often than Killian Hayes, just more experienced running the show. So I like Corey Joseph being in the starting role today as well.
Yep. I don't think I'm quite as confident just because I know the pin.
I'm not confident.
Okay.
It's just a lean.
I can't even lean them just because the Pistons are one of those teams where if you bet on them and you get the wrong version of them, they'll make you pull your hair out.
100%. They can lose by 50 like they did.
How am I ever betting on this team, you know? But we had them against Dwayne Casey. We got that Dwayne Casey one. I'm just going to chill on the Pistons for a little bit. All right, last two games. We got the Clippers and the Nuggets here. 8.5. And I know a lot of people will point to this and say, wow, that's a lot of points. But I think the big narrative that people will forget is Nuggets just had one of the biggest collapses of the season against the Clippers last week. Then now they got walloped at home by the Jazz. So they've had now 2 days to sit on a loss and kind of plot their revenge against a team that really they should have beat. They were up 25 early in the third and just blew it, played as bad as you could in the last two quarters, and they blew it. And so I know they didn't have Barton that game. Now they have Barton back. It is a nice spot for the Nuggets, but the books have adjusted, you know, like it's 8.5 for that very reason. And so for me, I'm off this on paper. It's too many points, but you factor in the narrative. I understand why it is where it is. I'm staying away. Do you have anything you like about this game? Batum also out.
Yeah, Batum's out, COVID protocols. We got that a little bit earlier. I love these. I really like this Clippers team, but I think I just am kind of blinded by them. I just love the way they play with their young guys. But like you said, I think Denver at home, I think Denver's sort of right now kind of gathering some momentum a little bit to make a little bit of run before the All-Star break. But 8.5's a lot of points to me. And even if you go to a neutral court and you say 5.5, it's a lot of points still. I don't think the Clippers are 5.5 points worse on a neutral court. I think it's closer to 4.5, 5. So it's definitely a Clippers lean for me again, but I'm not going to force it on this big of a slate. I do lean Clippers here. It's hard for me to explain in like a basketball standpoint, but I like the way this Clipper team plays. And I think they hang in here with Denver. They always hang tight with Denver. I love the skim. Like, I just love Ty Lue and what he does. Like, this is going to be a coaching duel right here. And I don't think it comes down to that many points.
Yep. I'm with you. It's just the revenge thing. I think basketball wise, for sure, there's not,
especially on a 213 total, you know, like 8.5, it's a low total.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I feel you. I'm not going to force this one.
Yeah, 100%. I get it.
But I get you. Basketball-wise, Clippers, then you got the narrative you got to factor in. How much are you really going to give that? We'll see. We'll find out. It'll be cool to watch, see how it plays out. Because we have seen a Denver team, this Denver team, have the ability to blow teams out at home. You know, even like I'd say the Lakers and Clippers are kind of similar. I'd say the Lakers are even a little bit slightly better maybe than the Clippers. And they just blew that Lakers team out, which had been sitting on a couple losses. But speaking of Lakers, we got them as the last game of the day. They are 5-point favorites at home against Indiana today. I don't really know what to make of this because, like, again, you're getting locked in Bron, and he's going to give you his best performance. And then it really just comes down to, hey, can certain role players step up? Last game, it was Stanley Johnson. I watched that fourth quarter. I got home from my game and just watched that fourth quarter. And, oh, my God, Stanley Johnson was huge, right? But can you get that performance from him every single game? I don't know. Malik Monk's been great, but, you know, he's Malik Monk. He can go shoot 0 for 6 the next game in the blink of an eye. I don't think this line's unfair at all. You know, like I do think you can make the argument the Lakers are 2 points better. The Pacers team is kind of down in the dumps. Trade rumors swirling. Miles Turner goes down. Malcolm Brogdon's dealt with an Achilles for like the past month and a half. Caris LeVert, Sabonis in trade rumors. And it's a team that, you know, just hasn't been living up to the talent that they have on the team lately. Like they don't – talent-wise, these two teams are pretty damn similar, but – the Pacers just aren't getting the best version of this team very often. So for me, this is a really tough game to cap. I think I just stay away from this. I think if I had to make this line, I think you could argue that you have it at Lakers minus 6. I think there's an argument to be had. But at the same time, you know, the Pacers have sucked a lot lately, and you know they're bound for a game where they turn it on. I will say they've been really good on the West Coast. They lost this last game to the Clippers, but they were 5-0. On West Coast games before that. I don't know if that's just weird luck or if there's something that actually factors into them playing better on the West Coast. But before that Clippers game, 5-0 on the West Coast against the spread. I don't know. There's just a couple compounding factors. I could see this game being really close. I could see the Lakers winning by 10. You have a better read on the Lakers than I do, although you normally stay away, but interested to hear your take on this
one. God, I hate there's no Miles Turner today. I hate there's no, I think what I hate is there's no rim protection, for Indiana with LeBron,
yeah.
When the Lakers struggle, it's because there's someone down there protecting the rim. And I think that's why they were so successful against the Jazz is it brought Rudy Gobert away from the rim. So you had LeBron, even Stanley Johnson, Malik, guys getting really easy buckets at the rim with no Miles Turner. If Miles Turner was in this game, the spread wouldn't be where it is, but I would like it a lot more. So I think this is a pretty sharp line, and I'm going to stay away. Sabonis down there is – we could legitimately play LeBron at center the whole game and not have to worry at all about Sabonis. Just bring help when he gets it in the post. So for me, it's a stay away. I don't like betting with the Lakers. I don't like really betting against the Lakers in this scenario with no Miles Turner. So just a complete stay away. I think the line is pretty sharp at 5.5, honestly.
Yep, I'm exactly with you. All right. Now it is time for our props. And as we have a 13-game slate, we have quite a few that I think are worth taking a look at today. I guess I'll say before we jump in, I know I mentioned Joel Embiid earlier, but I think our favorite props to target are the ones where it's a younger guy, little less known, who's taking on a larger role that the books aren't quite adjusting to, rather than a Kuz over 33.5 or a Joel over, like, I still like Joel over 28.5 for sure. But when it's such a large number, even if they've hit it 8 of their last 9, it's just like one little thing, foul trouble, injury. It's just so hard when you get these really large numbers. So we're looking to find the Amir Coffees, the Ayo Dosunmus that we'll get to, today, the lower key players that you could see having a larger role than one would think coming into day. I'll lead with one that I want to get your opinion on because I don't think I think it'll fly under the radar. And for me, it's today. It's over 23.5 points, rebounds, and assists for Bob Williams. We talked about it in the Charlotte breakdown. Charlotte really, really bad at guarding big men. Great rim roller, great offensive rebounder on the boards. He's hit that in four out of his last five. Sat last game, so the legs should be fresh. He hit that easily last time he played Charlotte as well. I just think that's a low-ish number given the matchup with Charlotte and Bob Williams' ability. I think you could easily see a 14 and 12 with four assists today.
What's it at? What's the prop at?
Points, rebounds, and assists is at 23 and a half.
Okay. I like that. I'm just looking through his last couple of games. With Robert Williams, it's the minutes too. And I'm like 34. This is since, you know, December 22nd. 34, 38, 22, 28, 35, 32, 34, 33, 41, 22, 31, 34. The guy is playing over 30 minutes. And when he plays over 30 minutes, he produces a good majority of the time. 14 and 13 with six assists. That's another thing with him. He's a great passer, sneakily. So the assists are free, right, on this prop, because this is mostly a rebounds and points prop, and then any assists you get is like an extra. I would assume he gets there just with the points and rebounds, and if you get assists, too great. But I do like that. That's a good little find there at 22 and a half, because the thing with Bob Williams is if he's getting the minutes and staying out of foul trouble, he should hit a double-double
like that
around 70% of the time.
Yeah. And that's the one thing, though, you know, foul trouble. But it's Mason Plumlee, and I'm sure he's going to come help on guards driving, like Terry and LaMelo might pick up a couple here and there. But if he stays out of foul trouble, he has fresh legs. He sat that game against New Orleans. He should be ready to go today. He's had 3-4 days off now. I think he hits this the vast majority of the time. But I haven't seen him or anything.
There's no longer the scare of Al Horford closing at center over him. They're not going there anymore. They were kind of middle of the first half of the year, a little bit earlier in, just couldn't manage his minutes. He was playing like low 20s for a good stretch. That's completely gone now, so you don't have to worry about that with Rob Williams. So I do like that prop. I think that's a good little find. And I think 22 and a half is a bit low. I think it should be closer to like 24. Yep. I think that would be a more
that's accurate. Why I do have, I think it's 23 and a half, but
it's 23 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like it a little bit less, but I still think there's a half, you know, half of, I don't even know what you call that. You don't call it a point, but half of whatever a value, maybe even a full. Like, I think the majority of the time he hits 24 and a half, 25. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Let's keep it rolling, bro. What else you got?
So here's the thing with AO, and we can just jump right into him, is if Caruso is back, there's two things for me. I don't think AO loses his minutes, right? I don't think the minutes are just gone, because they'll play a three guard lineup with DeRozan at the four. It's going to be a little odd with Evan Mobley down there. But I don't think it matters, because there's no one else for Chicago to throw out. They're not going to throw Tony Bradley out there at the four. Like, I don't know who else they play. They have really small dudes. So I think either way, AO's minutes are going to be there. What's the prop at with him?
That's the sad thing. I don't have AO props as of this moment. I think there's a chance it gets up later, but like that was me yesterday. I wanted to jump on Kuminga props because I knew he was going to start. I knew they're trying to bump him and integrate him more in, and it's a similar thing. Sometimes with these lower-tier players, they just don't put props out for him, and they have in the past, but as of right now, I have no AO props.
Yeah, that's odd. I think it's because the books got absolutely crunched on. I was seeing some betting Twitter. Someone, like, I saw a whole group of some guys' followers hit AO 10 rebounds over 10 rebounds at, or over 9.5 rebounds. Or no, it was double-double. It was a double-double for AO at plus 3,300. People were smashing it, and it got absolutely crushed. It probably crushed the books a little bit, but
3,300
plus 3,300 AO to Sumo double double.
Oh my god!
Yeah, dude. Beautiful. What a hit that was! I know. And then I think the it was at 17 and a half or 18 points, rebounds, and assists. So I. But it's weird because a guy like Coffee, they just keep jamming out the same shitty number over and over again.
Yeah, well, at least with Coffee, it's like he starts and has started for like the past month. I think that's all it is. I still think there's a shot that AO lines come out closer to lock. But
yeah, and here's the thing. If Caruso is ruled in and that affects it where it goes down too much, like it gets to like 16 and a half or something, I do still like hitting it. I would probably still hit it at close to like 18. 17 and a half to 18 and a half is, I think, where it would probably have to be for me to hit it. If Caruso is ruled in. If Caruso is ruled out somehow, yeah, I would smash it.
Yeah, I'm with you, bro. Let's just get to our guy that we know. We got Amir Coffey again today. And I will say, Sarge, I love Amir Coffey. He's been giving us our free coffee every day. I will say the spot kind of scares me. I know there's no Batum, so the minutes should be fine. But we talked about it in the spread. I know you like the Clippers a little bit today, lean them. I am scared of the road revenge spot. And if this thing gets ugly early, you know, there's actually still a chance Amir stays in, but I'm just scared now. But I will say that the points, rebounds, assists is down. Like it was, or wait, is it even down? I don't remember if it was 18 and a half or 19 and a half, but it's
18. It was 18 and a half.
Okay, it's the same exact thing. 18 and a half points today are, dude, 11 and a half.
Hit it. I'm sorry. You have to hit it. I'm not even kidding. It's not like a joke. You have to hit that at 18 and a half. I'm not kidding. You have to hit that. That's insane value. And I know you're scared of the blowout. Even if it's a blowout, I'm telling you right now, and he plays 26, 27, 28 minutes, I don't know. Like, he'd have to shoot atrociously not to hit that, especially now with no Batum.
Yeah.
That's too good a value. You can't tell me, like, as a capper, you're not – like, that line is way off.
Yeah.
If it continues to be there, I don't – if the spread is – if they're a 13.5-point dog, I don't care. I'm still hitting it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, bro. I do. The one thing that scares me is just that New Orleans game, right? So we've seen that scenario show up. They get blown out, plays 25 minutes, doesn't get there.
Random minutes. That was the random minutes limit game too, where they said, I don't care. That's one outlier, and I do not care. I am the majority of the time, the vast majority of the time, you are hitting this prop. Like, it's going to hit. Yeah. I'm telling you, 65%+ of the time, this prop is hitting. Even if we lose it today, it's still the right play.
Now, do you like the points, rebounds, assists, or points are the same? Do you play them both?
Are points 11 and a half?
Yeah.
I like both again, dude. I'm like, I'll bring it up, and I know we keep talking about it, but I think it's important to keep referencing it because it is off. Like,
yeah.
So in his last, let's look at the minutes.
I just looked. It's nice.
Let's just look at the last five games, okay? 33, 43, 25 in the random minutes limit, 32, 35 minutes, okay?
Yep.
And then we go to just points. He's hitting the points, rebounds, assist prop with only his points in four out of the last five, basically.
Yeah.
Like 21 real points, 18 real points, five against the Pelicans, 20, 16. Assists, 3, 7, 5, 1, 7. Rebounds, five or more in every single one outside of the last one. It's free. It's not free money, but it's like the value is too good for you not to hit that.
I'm with you. I'm on it. I'm on it today, bro. It's just the underdog spot today. It scares me. I've seen teams in Denver get waxed by 30, and they're going to want their revenge here today. But I agree. It's just too low. It's too low, even given the spot. What I think you put this at 21 and a half points, rebounds, and assists, and I think you put his points at very worst 12 and a half. You know,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. The points where I wouldn't hit it would have to be like 13. That's what, like, I'm saying, like, if the points were at 13, I'd be a little scared, and if the points, rebounds, and assists were at like 22 and a half, I'd be really scared to hit that too. But we're talking about 18 and a half. Like, you get 4 points of leeway or four stats of leeway. Give me, like, yeah. That's just – it's too good. Like, the value is way too high on it, man. Like,
yeah.
We can just sound like a broken record over and over, but we're making you money. Like, it's just that simple.
No, I'm with you. We're going to be back on that. I'm just deciding today whether I just want to take it and go, like, give myself some leeway as well, where, like, all right, we do get the outlier again. I'll just take one of them, points, rebounds, and assists. Because, like you said, he's hit the point. It's rare. If he hits the points – he's probably going to hit the points, rebounds, assists. You know, like there's very
hey, let's talk through a scenario where he doesn't get there, right? How does he not get there? He scores. He shoots 3 for 11, right, from the field. Maybe I could see that happening. So he scores 6, 7, 8 points, 9 points, and then he only has 3 rebounds and then like 4 assists.
Or you go like, let's say he scores 7 points, gets 5 rebounds and 3 assists. He's not getting there. But again, that just comes.
That's the thing too. That happens like 20% of the time that happens. Like,
no, I know. And then no Batum in there makes it, you know, even a little bit tastier. But I get it, man.
I mean, I get what you're saying with the 8.5 point spread, but I'm on the side of the Clippers on this spread, and I don't know where he's going to – okay, let's say Luke Kennard is questionable playing this game. If Luke Kennard is ruled in, maybe that's something you want to take a back. Like, you want to say, okay, I'm going to not bet it today. I want to see that first. Yeah, I get that. Even if Luke Kennard is in, it makes me like it a little bit less. I'd move it down to maybe 19.5, 20.5, like at lowest for his points, rebounds, and assists still. So I still think you're getting value if Luke Kennard plays, but not as much value as you would.
Yeah, I'm with you, bro. We'll hop on. I think I'm going to just hop on points, rebounds, and assists. So we got that. Couple others that we can take a look at. Again, sucks that there's no Doncic props. I do like going back to Anthony Simons. Last game, it was at 20.5, hometown game. He'd been smashing that. They're still in Florida. He's from Orlando, so it's a little different, but I'm sure there'll still be people there in Miami. They moved it down to 18.5, so I do like it down at 18.5. I don't know that I'm going to play it, but I think it's worth a look if you're hungry for props. If you want to even get some alternate, you know, over 25.5, because if Anthony Simons is going, he can get cooking quickly. So you can get like plus 200, 25.5, or something around there. Anything else stand out to you, bro?
Let me take a look. Honestly, like that coffee prop just gets me so fired up.
No, I know, bro.
What about Corey Joseph today?
Let's pull it up.
It might not be up, but that could be interesting.
Yeah. Played in SAC for a while. I mean, he's played for like 12 different teams, but did play in SAC recently, knows a lot of those guys. Let me see.
I'd be pretty surprised if there was something up, honestly.
Yeah, we got Cade, Hami, Stu, and Bay.
Yeah, see, it's because the minutes with Corey Joseph also could be up, but a lot of times he does divert to Cade Cunningham. So if it was like, I don't know, 15.5-ish points, rebounds, and assists, I'd be a little scared, but there's no line, so it doesn't matter.
I will say, off a loss, off an ejection, with no Haliburton, Fox 32.5 seems like something I'd hit. Again, I don't have the exact stats in front of me, but you've got to think that Fox's usage picks up a lot more without Haliburton. Got ejected last game. They lost last game. They're at home. Seems like a pretty good spot for De'Aaron. Again, it's sketch when you're getting these high numbers like 32.5. But the offense should absolutely run through De'Aaron Fox today. And you've seen it. When they share the court, sometimes it's Fox, but quite often it's Haliburton handling the ball when they are both on the court. Now you don't have to worry about that. The minutes you never have to worry about, again, if he gets ejected, sure. But Fox should play at minimum 35 minutes tonight, especially if it's a close game. I know it's a 7-point spread, but like you said, Pistons could easily hang in there today. They're coming off 2 blowout losses. I think that's another prop. Again, it's high, so it's a little sketchy, but over 32.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I think he's in store for a line like 25, 6, and 6. That puts you at 37. You know, I know that's a large line, but no Haliburton. It just really affects the way this offense is going to be run, and you really don't have any other guards. Like, you're going through – you have Terrence Davis, cool. He's not a guy that's going to set or run the offense. Like really, who are the other guards without Haliburton? I don't know.
I actually don't know either. I was trying to think.
I'm trying to think. I'm going to go to the last game and see if there are any other guards that played like actual, you know, creation guards. I think it's just Davis, honestly.
It's Davion Mitchell, but like
Oh, Davion, I completely forgot.
I'm trying to think outside of him. There's no one.
No, it's no one.
Maybe Davion Mitchell props.
I got no props for him.
Yeah, see, that's the brutal part is the books aren't going to have these guys that aren't playing.
Yeah,
on a normal basis.
But Davion would be if you were on like DraftKings will have props for anyone. So Davion Mitchell is a good look.
Davion had 16-7-4 last game.
Again, a lot of that De'Aaron got kicked out.
Yes, correct.
But regardless, in those minutes he produced. And the tough thing too with rookies is like you just never know, right? Some nights it's beautiful. Some nights it's just disgusting. I don't like hitting rookies unless they're low lines, but you're probably getting a lowish line with Davion today for sure.
Yep.
I'm
going to look, try to find one more here.
No,
because there's so many damn games. Are Onyeka props up? That could be another really interesting one.
Yep. I like that call. Let me pull them up. I think Onyeka is someone that would be up by the book. So let me pull that up. And if not now, later. Yeah, we got Onyeka. What would his points, rebounds, and assists have to be for you to hit it?
Let me look at something before I give you a number.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Because I want to make sure. Because he had a big, big game last game. He had 12. So he played 35 minutes, which is huge for him because that dude does not usually play that many minutes, especially off his injury. He was in a bit of foul trouble. That's another scary thing for him. But he had 12, 3, and 7. I think I'd hit it at – I think the line would be around 20 is my guess for points, rebounds, and assists. I bet you it's like 20 and a half. What is it?
21 and a half, and it's juiced up to minus 120. Then you factor in the cap matchup.
No, do not hit that.
Yeah. I'm not going to hit that. Onyeka could pick up two fouls in 10 seconds against Carl Anthony Towns. I know he plays a lot of outside, but it's one pump fake. Onyeka bites a little bit. He's by him a little bit, runs into him, bump out the line. The books have that one covered.
That's a really good line, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only finding value in coffee again, man.
Yeah. For me, I definitely lean Joel overs. I lean Bob Williams overs. I lean there's one more lean I had. De'Aaron. But for me, the only thing that's like, all right, no doubt, you know you're getting some value here today is Amir Coffey.
Gosh darn it, dude. People are going to be like, we're just going to become the Amir Coffey guys, dude.
We already are, dude. I don't even think we're going to become. I think we really already are at that point. I'm going to go ahead and lock that in.
Dude, I know you don't want to hit the points, and I guess I understand that, but –
not that I don't want to hit the points. It's just like, let's say he hits the points, right? And is at 12. He needs a combined 7 rebounds and assists. And that's just if he goes 1 point over, right? And like, I just don't see too many scenarios where he hits the over in points and doesn't hit the over in points, rebounds, and assists. Now, if he hits points, rebounds, and assists, he's hitting the points, you know? So, did I even say that right? I just think there's not that many scenarios where he hits the points and doesn't hit the points, rebounds, and assists. At the same time, though, he probably, if he hits points, rebounds, and assists, he's probably hitting points as well. But let's say he gets 11 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. You know, you're not cashing the points. So I know that's a weird scenario, but I'd rather take points, rebounds, and assists. And I think because it's such a large slate, I'm not going to put 2 on this one, but there's nothing wrong at all with the points. There's just nothing.
Yeah. I still love both of them, but I definitely understand what you're saying.
And who knows? I might find myself on that shit later. But for me, guys, we're still combing through this huge, huge card. For me, on the spread side of things, I really do think the Nets get it done today. I don't know that I'm playing it. It should be a really good game. Wizards proved last game that when they're locked in, they can hang with really good teams. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Wizards won, but I do think the Nets do win that the majority of the time. And then we're back to the Thunder, second best team against the spread, catching 7.5. And then I really like the Jazz today. Even I know it's a really big number, And it always sucks when you have a team up 20 that gives it up late. But I don't think the Jazz are a team that's really prone to doing that. And you're getting them off five losses in their last six, an embarrassing loss to the Lakers. And it just should be feast time for them at the crib today, regardless of whether or not Donovan suits up. So for me, the two spreads that make the most sense, showing the most value, I think Jazz, I think they win that by 20, and Thunder plus 7.5. I think that closes, you know, 5-6 point game. Maybe Nets, but I'm sort of starting to get scared off of it. And I honestly don't think the Blazers are the worst bet either at 9.5 today. What about you, bro?
Blazers for me, no. I hate I just can't bet with them. This is another thing I will admit. You have been way better with Blazers reads than I have this year by far. I just can't seem to figure
them out. Have I though? Like, I don't know that I've even
You were on their home stretch like earlier in the year when they were really good at home. You were like, I would say, okay, I kind of like this team. The Blazers defense have been awful. You're like, no, Blazers are at home. They're really good at home.
I didn't have the balls to bet them though. You know?
No, I know, but you've been like good enough to be like, no, that's just a stay away. Like, just stay away from that. I just haven't had a good read on the Blazers all year. They screw me. Outside of that, I think we agreed on a lot of things. And I'm pretty on the same. There's just so many damn games. I do like Detroit though. I know you don't like that one. I like Detroit plus 7.5. I do like Clippers plus 8.5 on contrary to you. We love Oklahoma City. Love Utah. And that's probably about it for me. And I love the Amir Coffee prop. Like, I will, if I had $1 million, I'd put it on the Amir Coffee prop.
Yeah, you'd feel pretty good. And then, yeah, props in general, just, you know, for me, I'm realizing you really just got to love them because there's so much variance game to game.
So much variance, yeah.
With a team, you've got a whole team. With a person, you've got one person. And if they don't have it that day, you're shit out of luck, regardless of the minutes or the usage.
One player can foul out. One player can get hurt. One player can do this. A whole team can't foul out. A whole team can't. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. A whole team can't get ejected. Yep. So,
yeah, it's tough. But I hope this helped. I know it was a long podcast, but we had 13 games to cover. I hope this helped you as you're just, you know, going throughout your day, figuring out what you want to put your money on. Good luck with whatever you bet. We got 3 games tomorrow, but we should still be back ready to rock. We, again, limited days left of Sarge here, so I got to make the most of them. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow. Good luck with everything, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.
Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.